to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Welcome everyone. I'm glad you're here. I've been enjoying the summer. Hopefully you have as well. I definitely need some rain at my house. Anybody need some rain? My grass is pretty burnt. But I'd rather have sunny and hot than snow and cold. So I'll take this weather all the way up to December. Have snow on December 25th and then be sunny and hot the rest of the year. Well, I don't know if I'll get my request, but there you go. This rest of this month here, I'm going to be dealing on our thought life. On Wednesdays, I'm going to be dealing with how it affects our emotions. And how many knows today, more than ever, there's an attack on. If you can think about every attack that happens, it's like the battle that we have within, I think, is one of the greatest. Anybody agree with me? How many ever been sidetracked with a thought or things or feelings or emotions? How many ever been paralyzed to that place where like maybe it was a little out of control or you lost your strength? Well, the Word of God has a lot to say on this area here, and I'm really believing that this month we'll be able to put a finger on that. And if you're available on Wednesday nights, we have an awesome time here on Wednesday nights. We have a little more time for teaching, so Wednesday night at 7, come on out. Amen? 2 Timothy 1, let's start with verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of what? Okay, if God hasn't given it to us, then I don't want it. Okay? If He said, hey, I'm going to give you fear, then okay, we'll have to deal with that. But I haven't given you a spirit of fear. Now, how many of us fear has torment? How many ever been waiting for like a doctor's report and you got that nervousness? Let me see your hand. I know that thing. Or let me ask you this. Why can't they tell you that same day? Come back in 2 weeks and we'll tell you. They already know. I'm telling you they do. It just stretches it out, gives another call, another office visit. Oh, nobody knows about that stuff. Amen? But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but what? Power, love, and a what? Then if that's what's given to me, then that's what I'm going to take. That God hasn't given me a spirit of fear so I can cancel that off. So fear, you know what? You're going to go. You're going to go. If I could be fearless, and I'm not talking about strange things either, like running in traffic, all right? But if I could be fearless and have power, love, and a sound mind, that would be a great way to live this life. Do you believe in heaven that you'll have power, love, and a sound mind? I don't doubt it a bit. I believe all fear will be gone, no doubt. Perfect love casts out all fear. So I need to get to the place where that reality is my reality. And that's the process that we have to go through. All of us need to have a renewed mind. How many agree to that? And the longer we've been in the world, the more we've absorbed of things, the more that needs to be replaced, renewed, changed, transferred, wiped away. The greatest thing somebody could ever say to you is that you've been brainwashed. Not in a bad sense, but my brain needed washing. Somebody told me that, well, you're brainwashed. I go, you know what? I'm going to agree with you. My brain needed to be washed. Because that person got so mad at me because they had no comeback. My brain needed to be washed. How many needed your brain washed? The truth is that the washing of the Word and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. There's power in thoughts. The mind is like the control tower of life. Our thoughts working with the Holy Spirit govern our relationship with the Lord. That when we get our spirit right, God's Spirit comes in, we're born again. But this flesh and this mind, listen, that needs to be renewed and the flesh needs to die off. Now, I'm not talking about killing yourself. But that flesh is a powerful thing. We got to crucify that area. It seems like it resurrects every day. The problem is with our thoughts. Sometimes it's an influence of our past. When we're saved, God gives us a new spirit, a new life, a new beginning. But He didn't blast out our mind. Come on. Now some things may have dropped off instantly. Maybe your four-letter words became five-letter. That's cool. Maybe you've slipped before. But I've noticed that in this place of regeneration, it starts to need to be renewed. How many want the Word of God to rise up in you when you're dealing with a situation? Then there's a deposit of that and it comes back. And I've learned this, that you can't just go over it one time. You can't just read the Bible once, well, I read the Bible, it's all good. No, you got to sow it into you. You got to work it into you. Now, if you're into a car analogy and you're working on the body, listen to me, our mind needs to sometimes be sanded, buffed, changed, dents taken out. I mean, we need a renewal there. When I look today, wrong input will do something. Today we've allowed everything and we're all affected, true? We're affected by TV, radio, books, music, you name it. As a result of that input, it's created an acceptance for things in the world. It should bother us, some of the ills that's going on today. Man, I never want to be unaffected. Now, I don't like the news. I really don't. You can watch the news and get depressed. But the truth is, I don't have my head in the sand either, that I don't know what's going on today. But the Word of God needs to be current. The truth is that it's like a giant recorder in there. I can hear a song that I've heard when I was a kid, and I can hear it now, and I can still sing it. Amen? I still remember beer commercials. Taste great, less... Oh, okay, all you... Thank you, Jesus. God's still working on all of us. Amen. How many of us, it's still a reality. It's in there. Now, I don't want to remember when I get at the throne the Budweiser frogs, okay? Lord, clean that out. But the truth is that we all need to be renewed in this area. None of us have arrived, but thank God we're not what we used to be. Listen, we need to develop in us. We live in a sin-cursed world. And the values that have been set up by the world, listen, are trying to affect me. I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. Then Lord, help me. Help me to have a renewed mind. Notice Jesus, he was a happy guy. He really was. Jesus didn't walk around like this all day long. You know what? He laughed. He had fun. He really did. The joy set before him, he endured the cross. I can see him doing this. I can see him doing this. I can see him helping out in the kitchen. Come on, how many of us, we had a real Savior? Whatever was needed. You ever notice that he would be in the back of the room where the offering was? He'd be up front. He was everywhere in this service. I wonder how many times he was a greeter at the synagogue. How many of us, we have a real Savior? He has real emotions. But notice that he always kept the will and the mind of his Father. And he lived a great life. I want that great life. All of us here need to develop that area in our hearts. That ungodly things will develop an appetite for it. But godly things, listen to me, become an irritation to the flesh. But a renewed mind begins to change it all. You ever felt like, You want to go to church, but you don't want to go? Okay? How many of you want to go, but there's a spiritual thing going on, God's moving in something, you kind of sense that area? Oh, nobody in here. You're all perfect. And how many ever pushed through that and say, you know what? I'm going. And then you went and God blessed you. It's that area of getting over the flesh, but it's what you mind. It's like sometimes we talk ourselves into greater sickness. I'm not feeling well. I'm not really feeling well. It seems like it goes in that area. And when we let it down, all of a sudden, there is something begins to develop. It's called a stronghold. A stronghold is like this, a prejudice, or a thought contrary to the Word of God, or an opinion. In the world, it says this in 2 Corinthians 4:4. Satan blinds the minds of those of unbeliever. It says the mind of whose mind the God of this age has blinded, so they don't believe, lest they hear the glorious gospel and are saved. Think about Satan blinding people's eyes, hearts, and minds to keep them from the gospel. That's why when the entrance of the word comes in, understanding happens. I mean, when you got saved, like, well, thank God I got saved. You went from darkness to light. I believe in prayer, we need to come against those strongholds. God, open up their understanding. And more than ever, we have students, and I don't know where this is going if the Lord should tarry, that from a baby on up, everything has been visual and in their ears. Everything. Come on, three-year-olds can operate computers now. They can. They know how to boot it up. Well, if that continues in our whole lifetime, what will that generation be like? When virtual reality now is a norm. My wife and I went to a fair. Every now and then we go to a county fair. It's just because it's just fun. We watched little pig races the other day, all right? Pig races. It was fun, all right? But they had a whole virtual reality tent that you could come in and do play every game. What's the next step with that? 3D images in the room, full holograms, full interaction. I don't know where that's going, but I know the enemy wants to captivate this generation's hearts and minds. It keeps them in unbelief. So in our time of prayer, we need to come against and pray through those things. Satan deceives. When we start to think right and godly, listen, it's something we all need to be at. How many want to be there? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you would. To think uprightly, and I know I got to move through this. We need to acknowledge you have the capacity to think right. I started off, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and what? If He's given us that, then I'm accepting that. Then how do I make that reality in me? Now, how many here ever were taught something? A trade, you did this, maybe you had to wash this or whatever. Did you ever spend time with the person and they begin to show you the right and wrong way to do it? How many ever made a mistake after you started to learn how to do it? All right? Now, the reality is you got better once you got better at it. True? Well, isn't it the same in our walk with Christ? That we get the principles, the tools, but we're going to make a few mistakes along the way, but we're going to learn. And then eventually what we've learned, we need to share with others. I'm not looking for everyone to be a scholar in here. I'm just looking for you to be somebody in the Word of God. That'll make you a scholar. At the end of our life, we should know more about the Lord than when we first got saved. To think right, we need to acknowledge in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. When we acknowledge we have the capacity to think right, listen, it's a victory. You have the capacity to think right. Because let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Then, Lord, I want the mind of Christ. What would happen if we walk with the mind of Christ on planet Earth? Our spirit is already right. I believe we can accomplish more than ever. I believe that things that haven't been invented yet, miracles that could be done not only in the natural, could be done. Amen? Could you imagine if just a group of physicians got together and they sought the Lord with all their heart, Lord, give us a cure for this. Could God impart wisdom? Then not everything's been discovered yet. Then we need the mind of Christ. It's something we can have. Sound mind. Then I'm not going to accept this here if I can have this. Then if I have the mind of Christ, I'm working with Christ. What can He think about? What does He know? It's endless. It's endless the wisdom you can walk in. The enemy tries to keep us captivated, keep us fleshly, keep us carnal. But God wants us to be spiritually minded, which is life and peace. That's my portion. I can see why He's fighting us to great degrees. Because if we can start to think like the Lord thinks, it is, listen, nothing's impossible. Amen? The trophy of the enemy is our imagination. That's his trophy. He wants to captivate the imagination. He wants it to be evil all the time like he's done in past generations. But we have to rise up and say, you know what? My imagination belongs to the Lord. How many of us, we can imagine great things. We can imagine godly things. I want all my friends saved. I want all my family saved. When I imagine heaven, it's beautiful. Amen? To start to think right, Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2 says this. We need to seek spiritual things. Now, this seems so carnal and basic, but if you've been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Where Christ is, where He's seated at the right hand. Now, notice this. Set your mind on things above and not on the earth. Sometimes we're so temporal here. We're so temporal. When we need to release that, God, what do you have? I want to walk in that arena. When I'm more spiritually minded, I'm more earthly good. When I'm spiritually minded, when I'm thinking on things above, you know what? I can meet the needs of mankind. I can look for opportunities to bless. Look opportunities for resources. We start to put everything together and God will do a work. If you set your mind on things below, you become carnally minded. I don't know how many television channels are there. 2,000 plus now? I don't even know. And what's weird about cable is if you have that, you can block certain channels. But I guarantee you, 90% of them you'll never watch anyways. They know it, but they stick it in there anyways. How many thoughts have you already thought today? How much music have you heard? How much literature have you read? How many stories? How many people have you talked to? It's endless what we have. Sometimes if we stack together our time in the Word and prayer versus the things in the world, it is out of balance. True? And all of a sudden now we're trying to beat this heap when we're only down here. Lord, let me change that. Amen? Let me change that and I can have victory. If you get victory, I guarantee you, you'll get victory for somebody else. In the realm of Christianity, there are a lot of battles going on. To get victory in these areas, we need to sift your thoughts through the Word of God and His will. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge and bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. That means you have power in what you're thinking of. Now, I can't say a thought won't come through your mind, but what that comes in, you can deal with it. How many ever had a vile thought come in your mind during worship? That's reality. But how many of you can go, no, in the name of Jesus, I'm not going to dwell on that. Before you were saved, you just thought about that thought. But now you can take that thought captive and say, no, and it will go in Jesus' name. I will walk in this victory. Every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. That means you're free, as free as your spirit is inside of you. There's nothing holding you back. That's why when Satan came along to Jesus, he could find nothing in him and he had to leave. He brought every massive temptation he could, where mankind fell a long time ago. Couldn't beat this dude. And he had to leave. Isn't that cool? What if that was our reality too? Satan can find nothing in you. Amen? And you can detect it when he twists the Word of God and makes it sound kind of real. No, it's written. When would God ever tell Jesus to jump off a building and say angels would help him out? That's not scriptural. Say amen. Sometimes you've got to recognize the totality of the Word. But what if we sift our thoughts through there? As a kid, ever seen those little things where you used to sift sand? You did it so you could get the chunks, and sometimes you were looking for something greater. If you're up in Alaska, you're looking for gold. You're sifting through all the debris. It's amazing how much debris you have to remove just to get something precious. You're going to have to unload a lot of garbage to get a hold of something precious. Lord, let me sift it. There's nothing wrong with that. But we can't get to the place where our filter is dirty either. If our filter is dirty, then everything else comes dirty with that. I mean, we want a clean filter, amen? I have to have a daily washing of God's Word. Just being on this planet will make you filthy. And if you're employed and you're working in areas where there is no Christianity at all, sometimes you need a double bath. God has you there, but you need a double bath. Amen? To get victory in these areas, we need to choose and refuse. Somebody say, choose and refuse. We need to choose and refuse some thoughts. Psalm 101, verses 2 and 3. I have behaved wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk in your house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. How many of us, that's a choose and refuse. You have to be real selective. My wife and I have walked out of movies before. The rating was a certain way. Okay. I was just too bad. We're going. Amen? Come on. How many of us, that you have that opportunity? Now, we went back up to the counter and said, you know what, this movie just wasn't expected. And if they didn't give our money back, we were going to be totally fine. We walked in at our own will. We'll walk out with the same. They said, well, what's wrong? We didn't expect this to be in there. No, here's your money, okay? Amen? If we're with another couple, I never want to take it to a questionable place. Not that I'm going to do something evil there, but why? For conscience sake. I'm looking at my brother more important than where I'm at. Then what I'm going to do, I'm going to choose and refuse. We have that power, that ability. I don't see Jesus filling himself with a bunch of junk and expect to do a crusade tomorrow. Is this good? Can we all do this? We need to renew our mind by feasting on the Word. Not just an appetite, a feast. In Colossians 3, verse 16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I love Thanksgiving. Anybody like Thanksgiving? I talk about Thanksgiving and ask my wife starting the end of September. You know what? Thanksgiving's coming. We're going to have this. Anybody like Thanksgiving? Who likes turkey? Anybody like turkey? How about mashed potatoes? Real mashed potatoes. Not just the flakes. Real mashed potatoes. Gravy. How about good stuffing? Pastor Galena makes awesome stuffing. Okay. Pat's got his hand locked up. Amen? Now, what do you like? Cranberries? You like this? It all works together, true? Then how about when you start to read the Word of God, make sure there's a full display of all of it. I'm going to have my course of worship. I'm going to have my course of praise. I'm going to have my course of thanksgiving. I'm going to have my course of the meat, the Word itself. I'm going to have a banquet when I sit down and eat. I can see Jesus having a banquet when he ate with his Father. He spent time in the Word. He spent time in worship. He did it all. And what Jesus did, and it's something that I really want to do, is after Jesus ministered, and he met a whole lot of needs. Wouldn't you agree? How'd you like to feed 5,000? Man, oh Lord. But after he was tired, he always went back to his Father and got re-strengthened. That was his strength. Because you can give out so much and leak out all the oil, and if you don't refill, you'll burn up. You'll seize up. True? But he went back and received afresh, anew. Give us today our daily bread. Give me what I need, Lord. That's a constant place. And he feasted. How many want to feast? Well, that takes a little more than just a drive-through meal. That may be good for a afternoon, but sooner or later you got to sit down and dine. When I was growing up, we all ate together as a family. Anybody have a family like this? Dinner was at this time, and you did not blow off the dinner. True? You made your plans after dinner. Who had a life like I did? Me? Now, I didn't always like what was on the menu. Sauerkraut was the worst for me. The worst for me. I still got scars and wounds. But the Lord is helping me. Because my mom would make, you ever seen those big kettles? Those big, big kettles? That's how much she would make. She would make a vat of sauerkraut. The authentic, real German stuff. And we would eat that forever. And oh man, Lord Jesus. I used to take my plate, I sat at this end, my dad was here, my sister, my brother, and my mother, okay? and I would take it and I would scoop it and I would scoop it on the side and I would use the whole perimeter of the plate on the table and hide it. And I'd tuck it all in. And I'd be the last one done. And when everyone left, I'd pull my plate out, go like this, and dump it in the garbage. Until, how many ever had a family rat you out? Hey, Dad, does Tom eat all that stuff? Yeah, I see his plate's clean. Why don't you look on the side of his plate? Oh, busted. How many ever had your brother or sister just hang you out to dry? So then they said, well, we're going to watch you eat it all. Oh, I just, oh, Lord Jesus. I'm sorry, I'm sharing my hurts. You're my counsel today, amen? How many feel me? Okay. But controlling our thoughts is one thing we need to get to. That it doesn't control me, but I'm controlling that area. In Colossians 3, verse 1, it says this, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things. Then I'm going to start to say, these thoughts are going to be controlled by the Spirit of Almighty God, by a renewed mind. I don't have to think this way, so I'm not. You ever try to get somebody in there, well, what do you think of this? And then your mind wanders. Maybe even during this sermon, you've been thinking about everything else. No one will admit that. But how many of you have had your mind wander? I have. How many ever had your mind wander during worship? You're loving the Lord, but your mind's wandering. Three here. Okay? And all of a sudden you come back to that reality. Man, what was I thinking? How many ever said that? How many ever made a mistake and later on looked back, what was I thinking? You would stay away from that for a million miles now. That temporary insanity there. But Lord, help me. I want to control that area. Lord, you've given me the power to control these thoughts. They're not going to control me. You have to put your foot down and say, nope, I'm not thinking that way. And let that scripture, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. That's the filter I'm taking these thoughts through. And whatever shakes out in there, I'll receive that area. Is this good this morning? We're just beginning to scratch the surface. This month, we're going to be dealing on getting victory in our thought life. On Wednesdays, I'm going to take it to another level on our emotions too. That our thoughts and our emotions are quickly tied together. That how to get victory in every area. I want us as a church to walk in this victory. I really do. It'll benefit everyone, including me. Amen? Because if we do, you know what? We'll never be unfruitful in anything. In every area. The unbelievers set their mind on the natural things, the selfish things, the materialistic things, but we've set our hearts on things above. Now, there's nothing wrong with having some stuff. Nothing wrong with it, but it doesn't own you. You're just enjoying it while you're here. Amen? That's why every Sunday for me, I'll still get to do what other people are going to do, but I've set first the Lord. He'll bless the rest of the day, like all of you. You wouldn't be here if that wasn't the truth. Amen? As we close here, how many are having some battles in the mind, your thoughts? Let me see your hand. Okay, how many of you? How am I going to grab a hold of those things? You can choose what you think about. And sometimes, I've done this. I've even talked to myself like David said, soul, why are you quiet with it? Hope in God. There are times I'll speak to me and say, no, you're not thinking that way. It's not right thinking. Amen? I've done that with my emotions too. Nope, nope, you're not getting it. No, hold on to that there, amen? How many ever got mad about something that hasn't even happened? Let me see your hand. You got mad about something that didn't even happen. How much wasted time was in the area? And one time I chuckled, what am I doing? It hasn't even happened and I'm mad? Forget that. That's craziness. I don't want to waste my thought on this planet. Amen? My spirit's right. God gave it to me. Born again. Then I'm going to renew this and bring those thoughts captive. Praise the Lord. I want to get to the place where, you know what? It's like in the rearview mirror. Amen? It's all in the rearview mirror. Whatever data input you've had previous, it's time to put some new downloads. And sooner or later, you know what's going to happen? Whoop! A whole lot easier to get victory in the spirit here when the flesh isn't dominating. Amen. Father, thank you. Lord, help every one of us. Because Lord Jesus, I know we all come into battle. Whether we hear a bad report or we're facing an unbelievable decision, Lord, there's so many we need to make in life. But Lord, we want peace in those decisions. Now in your own heart, come against those things that are contrary. And let that word be part of you, that God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but what? Power, love, and a sound mind. Everyone say that again. Power, love, and a sound mind. Lord, that's what we stand upon. Lord, that's what we're going to walk out in this time. Help us to bring every thought captive. Lord, to sift it through your word. Help us, Lord Jesus. And Satan, we come against your power in Jesus' name that blinds the minds of those in unbelief. Lord, come, Lord, to the rescue. Open up understandings in the name of Jesus. Lord, start with our families, O God, that each one will know you. Lord, our acquaintances, O God, work in their hearts. And Lord, to the end of the earth, we call this state to Christ. We call this country to Christ in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, bless your people. Lord, give them freedom today in their hearts. Lord, knowing that you're with them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming this morning, this month.